Good morning.
Great to be here, isn't it? Everyone have a good week? Mixed week. Mixed week. Many people had difficult times, many had great times. Some had good news, some had difficult news. If we look at the newspapers and look at the television, it's not always good, is it? There are many negative things been happening. But we praise God that we can come this morning and seek Him and trust Him. Just to start this morning, I'd just like to tell you a little story. You may have heard it before, but it always grabs me. It just shows how children think. One evening, Sally was in her bedroom and her grandfather went in to read her a goodnight bedtime story, and she was sitting in front of the mirror brushing her hair. And he came in and said to her he was going to read her a story. And she looked at him and she said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" And he said, "Yes, my child, God made me." She thought for a moment and then she looked and she said, "And Grandpa, did God make me?" And he said, "Yes, my child, God made you." She looked in the mirror and sat there looking, and then she looked up and she said, "Grandpa, you know, God is doing a lot better job these days." Very encouraging, isn't it? To Grandpa. But you see, God is always doing good things all the time. And we can stop and we can laugh at those things. But you see, children think things very differently to we do. And sometimes we need the simple faith that a child has. As I said this morning, many of us have come with different thoughts and different feelings because different things happen. And I was thinking even this morning about a show that my husband watches sometimes, and it's on a Monday night, it's the footy show, and they have good call, bad call. And they say, you know, is this a good call, is that a bad call? And each commentator gives their opinions. And so, as I said earlier, if I asked you about what your week was like, some would have a good call and some would have a bad call. Some of you this morning may have come in feeling like nothing good is happening in your life. Some may be feeling, "I'm not smart enough, I'm not clever enough." Some may be faced with opportunities that they don't feel that they can succeed in. And others are all gung-ho and think that they have everything it takes to do whatever is before them. Maybe you're here and you feel like your life is hopeless and your circumstances will never change. For some, we wait on things for a long time and yet nothing seems to come of them. If any of these circumstances or situations describe you today, you're not alone. The world is full of people feeling like that. And sadly, there are many Christians that feel like that. And there's really no need. Because I've come this morning to remind you what God says. And He says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" There is nothing but nothing. God is always about His business. And we need to be thinking about His business. Because it's only as we think about His business will we know and fully comprehend that there is nothing too hard for Him. If we stay fixed in our business, in my business, then we will become discouraged and negative and feel afraid. We need to only take our seemingly hopeless situation to the Lord and trust Him. We need to put our situation alongside the great and mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ and see it disappear. Because no matter how big we feel our problem is, our pain is, our fear, our frustration, He is more than able to cover it, that it can no longer be seen. The thing is, we need to put it there. I like what my husband put on the bulletin this week about, you know, the beautiful feet. But at the bottom, he puts a line, "If you are willing, He has the power." And that's what it's about, you see. You being willing to trust in that power. You being willing to allow Him to open your eyes, to see that power. There are situations that are too hard for us, yes, but not for God. Never ever for God. But you see, it's how we look at things. This morning I want to read from way back in the Old Testament, a very early account, and to me a very powerful account of what I want to bring to you this morning. And so if you turn with me to Genesis 18, and we'll read 1 to 15 of Genesis 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of the tent to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get you something to eat, so that you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered, do as you say. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to the servant, who hurried to prepare it. He then bought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and sat there before them while they ate. He stood near them under the tree. Where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he said. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed at us to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, now I have this pleasure. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will you really have a child now I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll return to you at the appropriate time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he simply said, yes, you did laugh. You did laugh. Now this is an amazing account. And just to go back to Genesis 12, we see that many years earlier, when Abraham was 75 years old and living in Ur of Chaldea, the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord had said to Abram, who was then Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I show you. I'll make you a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you. And so God had given Abraham a great promise. And Abraham, in his excitement, had run to his wife and said, pack up the household. And here we see this couple who were married. Sarah was a very beautiful woman. And they lived in comfort and security. In fact, they were very wealthy. And she was very happy with her life there in Ur of Chaldea, because everything was going nicely for them. And like all women, she had hopes, because as it may not seem to you, but even at 75, there was still hope that there would be children. That was not a great age to them. So all of their hopes and dreams were set up in their little community. And suddenly God comes in, isn't that like God, and says, it's time to move on. You know, we can become so settled in the place where we are, we struggle with that. But I must say that because Sarah loved her husband and honored the God he honored. She was ready to pack up and move, so off they went. And then later on, and the thing was that Abram could not tell her where they were going. Now, it's one thing if God says to you to do something and go somewhere, but it's another thing when he says to you, just go out and get in your car and drive, and as you go, I'll tell you where to go. That takes tremendous faith. And that takes tremendous ability to do what is said. If you're willing, he has the power to put your trust and faith in that power and know that it's really God spoken to you and that he's going to lead you. And so that's what they did. Off they went. And then when they got to Haran, they stopped. And they stayed there. And then God then further moved them on to Canaan. And this is where the story is picked up now. And it's many years later. Sarah now is 90 years old and her husband nearly 100. And she'd follow Abraham and she'd put her trust, as I said, in these things. She'd been encouraged in the hope of the promise, the hope that God's promise is true. But now here we are years later, and there wasn't the smallest sign of children. They were continuing to be blessed in all areas of their life. But you see, those things had become unimportant to Sarah because she wanted a child. In those days, a woman's worth was seen in how many sons she could produce for her husband. And she was feeling shame because she had not borne a child. And in those days, it was seen that if a child did not come, it was the woman's fault. So you can imagine the picture of Sarah. She had moved. She'd left behind security. She'd left behind friends, many that maybe would have encouraged her. Now, I'm sure she'd made other friends, although not so many. Because in these days now, Sarah lived in her tent. Sarah spent much of her time in the tent. This tent represented security to her. It also represented disillusionment and failure and grief. But at least there she felt comfortable in those things. At least there she had some sort of authority. At least there she could put things where she decided to put them. And don't we ladies all like that? We like the security of our own home. We like to be able to set up our kitchen as we want. Well, and be told if another woman comes in and interferes in your kitchen, particularly if it's your mother-in-law. You don't like it. We like our own space. And you see, we can get like that emotionally and internally, that we like to put things where we like to put them. We like to leave them there. And you know, it's even possible to start to feel comfort in disillusionment, to feel comfort in disappointment, to feel comfort in discouragement. Because if that's all we have, that's what we grab onto. And so here we have Sarah, who her values had changed. She had become familiar with her surroundings. Even though they were negative, she had become familiar. She'd started to feel comfortable in this place, in this tent. And now here comes this picture. Abraham is not like that. He's out and about. And he's sitting outside the tent. Now, it was to get the cool of the day. But he liked to watch wanderers as they went past. But you see, Abraham still believed the promise. The promise to Sarah was gone. It had been so overcome by disappointment. It's still there. We cannot get rid of the promise, but we can cover it up. We can allow our emotions and our fears and our disappointments to cover it up. And that's what she'd done. But Abraham, he still believed the promise. And you see, it says that he noticed these strangers. They didn't come to him. They were standing there. And yes, that was God's plan, but he invited them because he was ready for whatever would come. And so in the strangers come, and he's so excited about it, and he goes running into Sarah, all excited, and I can imagine her thinking, what's he so excited about, just three people, like she'd really, really lost it. Have you ever been there? You're feeling glum and miserable, and suddenly your husband says, quick, get ready, we've got visitors. You don't feel like visitors. I'm not dressed for visitors. I'm not prepared. I've got no food made. Does that happen to you? It does to me. Your husband will say, I've invited someone around. Why didn't you tell me? So he was all excited. Get it ready, get it ready. So being a faithful wife, she did as he asked. She went off and she prepared and bought it and quickly brought it to them and raced back into the tent. That's where she felt comfortable. She didn't feel comfortable being confronted by people. She wanted to live in her own misery. And that's where we are sometimes. Many times we want to live in our misery. We get in our little tent. You know, you may be here physically this morning, but I'll guarantee you that if I were to push hard enough and to delve far enough, inside each of you is a place that you hide. There's a place that you take shelter and refuge. There's a place that you keep, that sometimes you draw out emotionally, that brings you comfort that you need not have. And so here we have, Sarah was a bit inquisitive, and she heard her name. And we're very inquisitive women, aren't we? She heard her name. When she heard her name, she was in the door of the tent listening. And so she heard this man say, and it was the Lord, that he would come by again in 1 year's time and Sarah would have a son. And so automatically, because of all this inside of her, she laughed. Not out loud, to herself. And the Lord heard. He didn't really hear. He knows everything. And he said, why did Sarah laugh? And of course then she became afraid. How did he know? How did he know that I laughed? So she denied it. You see, today, that laugh would be a woman saying, are you crazy, God? You made a mistake. I'm already dried up. I'm old. That part of my life was over a long time ago. And my husband, look at him. Look at him. He's passed. He's passed his time. And now you were saying that we're going to be parents at our age. We've missed it. But God would say, no, I'm not crazy. And yes, I can make it happen. In fact, I will make it happen. And it says here in verse 14, the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything too hard for the Lord? No matter what it is. And you see, you think, oh dear, how could Sarah laugh? But you know, we all laugh. Laughter, I've been with people in counselling and things will be getting really serious and they'll get this laugh. It can be a nervous laugh, a laugh that's trying to cover up their doubt and their fear. And that's what that laugh. Sarah wasn't ha 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 ha, a mocking laugh. It was a nervous laugh. It was an exposed laugh. She'd been exposed and she was being challenged. And you see, the Lord comes to us and he challenges us and he touches us and he says, I will do this thing. I will bring this to pass. And we laugh. We draw back and we say, can that be? Dare I hope? Dare I believe? Is it possible? Is it really possible? And the Lord says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And what is the answer? No, there isn't. No, there isn't. As I said, Sarah's life had become her tent. She found comfort there. And part of what was being said seemed too extraordinary for her, but also she'd lost the desire to try. She had become tired. And when we live in our emotion, we'll become tired. We'll become weary. You know, our emotions will lie to us. And the Bible tells us that we need to be careful of what we think. If we fill our minds and our thoughts with the things of the world, now we need to be mindful of what's going on in our world, but if we get too involved in things, if we get too involved in anything, television, sport, movies, anything, do you know there are many people that just lose themselves in Days of Our Lives and whatever else are the latest, Neighbours and Friends and all these shows that are on, they can't bear to miss it because it's almost like that gives them a thrill, a desire for life. They can get lost in that television program. But unfortunately, it can become real to them. And the more those things become real, or even the things that we're seeing now, the announcements of, you know, the building industry has just absolutely fallen. Absolutely fallen. There are so many companies closing down, people losing their jobs. There's a glut of people out there trying to find work. And all of these things are facts. And we need to look at them as facts. But once we allow them to disturb us, once we allow them to shake our security, we will get caught up into this disillusion and discouragement and this living in the tent world where God's voice becomes smaller and smaller and these fears and anxieties become greater and greater. This laugh that we can hear and that Sarah gave sentenced her to the ordinary of setbacks. And when we laugh and we doubt God, we're putting on ourselves a knowledge of setbacks, of believing in something that has taken far too long and it has passed away. And sometimes God has shown us things and we've waited and believed for them and they've just taken so long. They're taking so long. Lord, I want it yesterday. I don't know about you, but I want things now. There are things in my life that I'm really praying for. Things that are painful, things that are could be distracting. So I know what I'm saying today. I live in that place like you. None of us are different. We all face situations. We have times where we're up on the mountain in the natural, and everything seems to be going wonderful, and that's when we think, oh, God's wonderful. And suddenly, it's not always, I don't know, you think about a steep hill. Sometimes we can just come, I pick the undulating hills, the ones that come down gradually, because that's easy for me to come down. But some are very steep, and you start off, but you end up running, and before you know where you are, you've got to run fast, or you'll fall over to hit the bottom. And sometimes disappointments and pain comes like that. It doesn't always come in slowly. You just drop and suddenly you're in this thing. Where did this come from? That didn't see it coming. And it can be all manner of things. It can be grief. It can be heartache. It can be financial things. Whatever. You know, someone said to me the other day, I look back and a couple of months ago I had a very good job. Earned very good money. You know, this was paid for, that was paid for, had a vehicle. Suddenly, a couple of words, it's all gone. It's all gone, swept away. That can be with a marriage. It can be with your children, with health, finances, anything. Suddenly, it's gone. And so then, where are we down here? So it depends on what we've filled our life with up here. How are we going to cope when this hits down here? Because if we've not filled our life and our time and our intimacy, and again I encourage you to come along to this Agape Road because it is awesome. I have a great respect for Pastor Bob Mumford. Have seen much of his work, heard him speak personally. And we all need that intimacy with God. Do you know where we need it most? Down here. Because then we'll be able to ride the up here. Otherwise we get into this emotional realm and it won't keep you. Like Sarah, she'd gone down. and she was living in the tent. And you see, this kind of thing, it robs us of the miraculous. Do you know that the miraculous is still alive and well today? You might say, oh yeah, because it says in the Bible. No, do you see it? If I were to come and ask you personally, have you seen the miraculous this week? I have. I have. We need to be seeing the miraculous. But if our eyes are not open, and if we're down in this tent, if we're in this discouragement, if we're still laughing in anxiety and fear and embarrassment, we're not going to see the miraculous. To live a life that is bound by the familiar causes the promises of God to be unable to access our lives. If you live in the familiar, if you take comfort in the familiar, whether that be good or bad, and usually the familiar is very mundane, there are things that are within our capabilities, and God works outside of our capabilities. And so if you live in the familiar, that will cause the promises of God to be unable to access your life. If the miraculous is going to come to us, then God wants believing hearts. God wants us to believe even when nothing looks like it is how we want it to be. He wants us to believe to receive, not believe after we've received. We need to believe to receive. And I'm here to say to you today that within each one of you, you have different things that you have hoped for, different things that God has promised you. But God is about doing every one of those things. You see, we can block off receiving because we haven't prepared the ground. God has asked us to prepare the ground. Life had happened to Sarah. Delays had happened to her. Is a woman way past menopause able to give birth to a child? Well, she didn't think so. She didn't believe so. But you see, God can do anything. Anything but fail. But we must believe the promise. Again, that phrase that Pastor John has in the bulletin. If you are willing, he has the power. But you see, we have to trust in his power. Faith is taking the next step when you can't see it. It says in Romans 5:5, and Pastor Elder Lewis brought it out beautifully in communion, and that was when he read Romans 5, my heart leapt. And in Romans 5:5 it says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. He has given us everything. He's given us his Spirit. So that this hope he's given us will not disappoint us. Because he lives within us to bring that hope alive, to make that hope live. We just have to believe. That's all God asks us to do. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Can a business that appears to be bankrupt become profitable again? Do you believe that? Can a marriage that's on its last be restored back to love, passion, and vitality? I believe that. Can cancer be healed? That too is not too hard for the Lord. I believe that. Can a lost child come back to Jesus? I believe that. My friends, if you don't believe those things today, you are in the tent. You are caught up in your own familiar negativism. You are functioning through your own emotion and through your own thought concept. You see, knowledge is a good thing. But when it comes to faith, knowledge is not good. Knowledge is something that we've learned. Faith is not something we learn. It is poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It has come to us through Jesus Christ. It's conveyed to us through him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Did God say it to you? Did God give you the promise? If God said it, it will happen. In John 15 verse 7, I love this. It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Have you ever noticed what it says? It says, if you abide in me, and my words, my life words abide in you, not you can ask, you will. That little word will makes such a big difference to that scripture. You see, to say you can do something is a choice. But the Lord is saying, I'm in you. And if you're aware that I'm in you and you're in touch with me, you will do it. The same as Abraham saw those strangers and invited them. He didn't just think they were everyday strangers. He knew that they were somebody because he said, come, my Lord. And you see, if the Spirit of God is alive in you, he will lead you, that you will do it. Are you getting that? So the emphasis is on you, that you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Does that put a different slant on it? So what it's saying is, if God isn't abiding, if you're not in touch with the Spirit, then you'll only think, well, I can try. But this scripture is saying, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Today, I believe God is challenging us to banish the small. We think so small. So small. Our desires are small. Sometimes they're big, but we don't believe we can achieve them. We need to banish the small. It's not by explanation, but by revelation. It's not by understanding. It's not by learning. It's by the revelation of the Spirit within us. Our God is a big God. We sing that, don't we? My God is strong. He's able. He's so big. He's so good to me. He's a big God. And you see, when we look at our disappointments and our fears and the things that we've hoped for that we don't see at the moment, we start to feel very small. And we see the problem so big. Don't look at a big problem. Look at a big God. Look at a big God and know that there is nothing too hard for him. And it's not only that it's whether he chooses. It's not that he can do it. It's that he will do it. You see, when we became saved, we were taken in to this relationship of intimacy with the Father, an intimacy that had been broken because of sin. And then we were brought into this wonderful relationship. Then we come into the understanding of his Spirit at work within us. And his Spirit makes alive the fact that it is Christ in me. It is Christ in me. It's not me in Christ only, it's him in me. And if he's come to make his place in me, then all of the kingdom is alive in me. All of the promises, all of the declarations of the Word of God are in me. What a powerhouse that we carry around. Do you know that? Do you know the power? You know, we get such a shock if we go near. I know our son on his property has electric fences. And it just gives you an understanding of what electricity is like. If you touch that electric fence, boy, does it give you a zap. And you just sort of think, wow, what shocko if you put your finger in a PowerPoint. There is a greater force and a greater power at work within us. But it's not to shrivel us up and give a shocko. It's to give a shocko, all right. It's to give a shocko to life. It's to give a shocko to open our eyes to see what is available. You see, we're so used to coming to the table and just picking. And God says, come and feed. Feed. Feed on the truth of my word. Feed on the truth of my love and my intimacy. And let me show you what I will do. Not can, will do. Don't let small hold you back, church. We think too small. You know, when we think about even in this church, our thoughts were small, but praise God, God opened us up, didn't he? Because I remember when it was first put to the church about building the multi-purpose room. How can we do that? And the amount of money that was needed. But we did it. We did it. The hands were available. The money became available. And we did it. You know, I don't know about you, but I come in here and often I think about the first time I walked into this building when we were thinking of buying it. And I just looked at the broken, dirty mess it was. And I don't know how many of you remember that kitchen out there, what it was like. And my dream was to see that kitchen restored, but never did I imagine it would be to what it is now. You see, we've got to think big. And then I remember, and I say this honestly, but humbly, but honestly, when we talked about doing up the interior, and I remember Pastor John saying, I've got a plan and that we can get this place done in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks. And even I thought, oh, that's a big, big statement. And others thought the same. But we did it. We did it. We did it. But you see, sometimes we can see things like that. We're geared to different things. And so we might be able to see these things, but can we see other things? Can we see other things? I've seen God do some extraordinary things in my life, through my life. Miraculous things have happened just because God has placed a thought, a dream, a word, and I've clung on to it. What have we got to lose? Who better to believe in than the God who created? God's a big God. If you don't believe that, have a look outside. Have you ever looked? Karen Walsh is very faithful and she sends me some great PowerPoints and emails. And one of them was a picture of the world. And then as you centred on this world and clicked something, it opened up and showed you the galaxies. And then we just see, we think our world is so big and it's the world. But we're part of a huge mass out there. Now we know we're life, but even in our world, we look at our maps and just see the size of what we call our world. And it's huge. And you see, for God it was simple. He just said a word. And it came. Just a word. But that word was life. It was creative life. He wants you to take this word and have it alive in your heart, that it will bring life. Life abundance. Life vital. Life powerful. Life operating. Don't think small, think big. Don't let circumstances hold you back. Don't let the things you see determine what you believe. Believe and let your beliefs determine what you see. That's the difference. Your experiences, your failures, your tragedies, your moments of loss, things you've seen, things you've hoped for, they're things. And there are times when we go through pain, and it doesn't mean that we're not to feel, that we're not to grieve. But above all, we have to see the one who says, fear not, for I am with you always. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. No matter what that thing is you're going through, I will take you. And remember, I've said before, it's not that I hold his hand, it's that he holds mine. That's the important thing, because he will never let go where I will. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You are thinking small when you feel unworthy. You know, you have no right. I have no right to feel unworthy. We just look to see the one who created us and know how fearfully and wonderfully we're made and think about how we function, and that makes us worthy. That makes us worthy. Not proud, but worthy, humbly worthy, and grateful, grateful to a God who made us. When it seems too late, don't believe it. It's never too late. Listen to his promise to you. Someone said the other day, oh, I don't know, I always just come in too late. Everything I do, it's just too late. No, it's not too late. If you think that, it will be. We need to stand in God and know that as he moves us, it is the right time. It is the right time. As I've said before, when John and I first started to share with people about what God was leading us to, about going out and ministering, someone said to me, oh, what a pity it wasn't 10 years ago. It's a bit late now. I just looked at them and didn't say anything, but I felt sorry for them because they'd missed the point. It's never too late. We weren't ready 10 years ago. Things weren't ready. But by the evidence of what has happened as we've gone, it's not too late. It's when we're prepared to go, and God will give us the availability, the strength, and whatever we need to do, whatever it is that he's asked us to put our hand to. Abraham was nearly 100, and he believed the promise, and he saw the promise. Don't ever say, I'm only. I hear it all the time. Our confession is so powerful. Oh, I'm only a woman. Oh, I'm only a carpenter. I'm only a plumber. I'm only this. I'm only that. I'm only the young people who say, oh, I'm only a teenager. Don't limit yourself. I am a builder. I am a carpenter. I am a woman. I am a teenager. It's a statement. It's a fact. Not only. Get rid of the onlys. They're negative words that will break you down. Only means nothing. We are not nothing. We are created in the image of God. We are his created workmanship for his glory. We're not nothing. We're not only. When big seems excessive, we are living in the small. When we look and see the big, oh, that's too excessive. Someone can say, oh, look, we need to spend this much. Oh, no, that's too much money to spend on that. We're thinking small. Now, of course, we need to go around and check prices and things, but don't stint on the things that God has given you. God wants to lavish you. His banner over you is love. His love is excessive. His love is radical. His love knows no bounds. What we give to him should be the same. It should be excessive. It should be boundless. It should be extravagant. And as we give that to him, then we have that for one another. If we do not know how to truly love God, how to truly honour and worship him, the love we have, even for those nearest and dearest to us, will fade. Because it's only him that keeps that alive. It's only him. So this morning, I want to challenge you to think big, to stamp on small, and to think big, to not live in a tent, but to come out and see what the Lord has done. He's already done it. It's already there. You know, whatever God has planned for you is already there. It doesn't happen as we move along. We just move into it. It's already there. So I challenge you this morning. Think, pray about what God has promised you. God doesn't just say, I might do it. What he's promised you. See what hopes and dreams that you have had, that God has sown into your heart. It may be when you were first married and you thought about what your life was going to be. Bring that out. Bring it out of its tent. Bring it out of its cave. Bring it out and place it before the Lord. And remember that scripture in John that says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. No doubt, no faith wavering, belief, total belief. Remember the hope that is impossible to dispel and live in that hope. Call out those things, whatever it is today, if you're facing marriage difficulties, if you're going through pain of any sort, physical pain, if you want a miracle in your body, if you desire your family to be restored, if you're praying for a lost child or a family member, husband, whatever it is, whatever, it is all here. Sarah bore the promise. She bore Isaac, who became God's anointed, called one. He was the promise. Even as you look at it in the natural, it was not possible. But you see, God had already planned it. And God doesn't come in too late. It wasn't late that God left Abraham and Sarah. That was God's appointed time to show his glory. Don't think it is too late. Now is the appointed time. Get in touch with him and see the wonders that he will do for you. Father God, I thank you and praise you for your grace and your love. I thank you, Lord, there is nothing but nothing that is too hard for you. I just pray, Father, that as I've brought your word this morning, that I have been faithful to deliver your word. But Lord, it is not the vessel, it is the power of your word. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would minister your word to the heart of each person here today. For each one of us have things that we wait on you for. Each one of us have things that we face in our lives. But today, Lord, I thank you that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I or anyone here could ask or think, according to your power at work within us. Lord, I pray that we might open our hearts and come out of the tent, take out of the little box we've hidden those things and place them away. We would bring them out to you, Lord God, and allow you to see what it is that we believe for. Dreams gone by, hopes that have become diminished, fears, anxieties, whatever it is. We would allow you to pour forth the radiance of your love and the power, your power to bring forth. Just as you said, Lazarus, come forth. He was already dead and decaying, but you brought him forth to life. You can bring forth any dream, anything that you have promised if we believe. If we believe. So we just thank you, Lord, this morning, that your Spirit would abide in us and through us, and that we might meditate, Lord, on your word, not on mine, but on your word, and that we might, Lord, come to see and hold that promise, for nothing is too hard for you. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' precious name. Glory to you, mighty God.